All right, we got a lot to talk about. Sam Smith has put on a very strange performance, unlike any he's done before. Anheuser-Busch comes out with a kind of apology, kind of walking back what they did with Dylan Mulvaney. Michael Knowles absolutely owns a leftist at a recent speech, and there's more. Let's get into it. What's good, guys? Happy Friday. I hope you're all doing fantastic. I'm here, Amala Epinobi, your host. Taylor's here in Nashville.
Happy Friday. What's going on?
Happy Friday. And Scott's in the producer's bay.
What's up, everyone?
I hope you're all having a fantastic Friday. Let me know what your weekend plans are in the chat down below. This weekend, I'm chilling. I got a speech to write that I'm real nervous about. I got a whole presentation I got to put together, but you guys are used to that, right? I'm always nervous for the damn speeches, okay? This one is actually different, I swear. I have a right to be nervous for it, but I'm going to be working on that this weekend, hanging out with my best friend, Risa, because we got some projects coming up that I hope you guys are going to be excited about and want to see. We're going to get into this Michael Knowles video that has now recently gone viral, where he is talking to a leftist at the Young Americans Foundation speech that he put on. It's about 5 minutes long, and it's just strange. You know, these leftists come to these speeches, and it's like they never learn. You will never learn! They always show up to these speeches, they line up, and they have so much confidence to talk to these speakers whose literal job is to debate people at any given moment. And they always have the same amount of confidence every time they come forward. Here's a young woman who wanted to talk to Michael Knowles about her take, and let's see how well she does.
Hi, Mr. Knowles, my name is Kat, and I have a question. And before I state my question, I just wanna honor that we are all standing on the land that belongs to the Ojibwe Anishinaabe people.
Thank you for mentioning that. I meant to mention that at the beginning of my speech.
Yep.
I'm glad that
Dakota, Northern Cheyenne, and they have been here for time immemorial. And so that leads into my question. So
does it?
You make the statement that transgenderism must be eradicated from public life entirely. And so I'm gonna ask you a question about that. But prior to that, I want to just state that for 5,000 years BC, Gala transcribed and androgynous trans priests of Sumerian goddesses have been around and noted. 200 to 300 years before Christ in ancient Greece, there were gods worshipped by Gali priests who were
feminine. I'm going to let her keep talking. Let me pause really quick. But just the ultimate virtue signal to go and talk to somebody and try to find the most ancient tribe you could possibly find to honor them for the land. Oh my gosh, it just makes me cringe. And I want somebody to fact check her and see how accurate that actually is. Like, was there a tribe before the tribe that she mentions, or was that the very first people to ever sit on the ground? And are we gonna continue to do that for every single place that we go to ever? At what point do you stop in recognizing the people who were on the land before? Because every piece of land was inhabited by somebody else before us. At what point do you let that slide and you just let it go? Just the ultimate virtue signal, my goodness.
Identified as women, since we are standing on Anishinaabe land, Turtle Island, which is the nation that we live under, has
I don't live
two
under
spirited
Turtle
people.
Island.
All right, well, maybe you should read a little more indigenous knowledge books. In indigenous
knowledge
have
books.
Two spirit personas for the
those are my favorite books
of their culture. And so that leads me to my question. When you say that transgenderism must be eradicated from public life entirely, I ask you, Mr. Knowles, how can we eradicate something that has been here as long as humans have?
Did you hear it? How do we eradicate something that's been here as long as humans have? And again, it's the confidence for me, the audacity for me, that she really thinks she's going to get him with this question. You know what else humans have been doing for virtually all of human civilization? Enslaving people. Do you think that there were arguments about how do we eradicate it? It's something we've been doing for all of human history. We still managed to take care of that. We still managed, at least on our part here in the United States and in the UK, there are other countries that are still indulging in the transgression of slavery. But we managed to go, you know what, even though this has been happening for most of human history, I think we can acknowledge that this is not the greatest thing to do, and we should maybe ditch it. We should maybe get rid of that. So to say that you can't do the same with something like transgenderism, or at least gender ideology, and the theories that we are now promoting to our younger generation, is just ludicrous. What a ludicrous question.
Well,
and not the good kind of ludicrous, okay? Because there's a good kind of ludicrous, and this is not it.
Yeah, there have been all sorts of crazy, terrible ideas for a very long time, too. You're pointing to civilizations that committed human sacrifice, okay? You're saying that some ancient pagan tribe worshipped demons, and therefore we need to castrate children.
She didn't read enough indigenous knowledge books, so she didn't know that they were sacrificing humans and cannibalizing. She wasn't aware of that. Needs to brush up on her indigenous knowledge.
That's not a good argument. Yes, that's true. There were all sorts of terrible tribes. In fact, as recently as a little over 500 years ago, the Aztecs here in the Western Hemisphere slaughtered 80,000 people in a sacrifice to one of the demons that they worshipped within the span of 4 days. That's not a recommendation of doing that. I don't think that we ought to consider it. Though, unfortunately, in our increasingly pagan and liberal culture, we do commit human sacrifice to the tune of 800,000 babies a year sacrificed through abortion. And it would make the Aztecs blush. What we do. But that doesn't make it the right thing. You refer to a notion that is increasingly popular on the left, which is the idea of the two-spirit among various indigenous tribes. That is not real. That is a contrivance of white liberals in America. There have been various conceptions of sex and gender for all of human history, but the idea of the two-spirited indigenous intuition of some modern transsexual living in New York City who's a man who very much desires to be a woman, that is a complete fiction. You will not find that in literature dating very far back. So what does it say about the question itself? The question, regardless of what the ancient Sumerians believed before they chopped up little kids or whatever, is it true? Can a man really be a woman, and can a woman really become a man? We all know that the answer to that question is false. That's why Professor McCloskey pulled out of our debate at the last moment next week, because even a distinguished professor knows, he has the intelligence to know, even if he is transgender identifying himself, that he can't win that debate because the idea is indefensible. So the question becomes, how does one know that someone with the total physical appearance of a man, how can one know that that person really is a woman?
I'm just going to pause here for a second because it's just fascinating. The different things you can go back in history and say, well, we saw something that kind of looks somewhat similar to what we're doing now. Therefore, that makes it justifiable. Because some person hundreds or thousands of years ago did this thing. Excuse me, Mr. Knowles, did you know about the Tuolegee tribe? That the men in that tribe used to strip corn of their husk and put it on their head as if it was a wig? That proves that we should be able to transition kids in today's time. Because some guy that we found in some history book did something maybe somewhat similar to what we're seeing right now. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I just cannot see where this is sound logic. And you would think that she would know. It's an argument that's been heard many, many times, used over and over and constantly debunked. And if there's anybody who's going to debunk that argument, it's Michael Knowles. He's well-versed in history. In fact, his five-minute videos here at PragerU, which you guys can look up, are about like Christopher Columbus and his interactions with the natives as he came and discovered the West Indies and all these different things. So you really chose the wrong person to try to use this argument on. Oh, but she remains confident. So let's hear what she has to say to this question. How does one know that they are a woman?
Do you have an answer to that question?
How can you, to clarify, you're asking how can somebody know if they are a woman?
And how can I know if that person is a woman? If not by the physical attributes, their natural and enduring biological sex, what's the alternative to that?
So my response to you is then a question of, what is the purpose of knowing another person's sexual identity? Let me finish.
Yeah.
If it's not for the premise of reproduction,
And
there's no need to relate outside of that, then I don't quite understand why we would need to question
So there's no other need outside of reproduction to know somebody's sex. No other need whatsoever. You can't think of the separation between men and women in their spaces, like locker rooms and gyms and things like that. You can't think of the separation between men and women in sports. You can't think of the separation in physiology and biology of men and women and how we treat them different. You can't think of the innate differences psychologically between men and women and how we address their behavior and how they interact with one another. You can't think of different jobs and activities that men and women enjoy and the generalities between the two sexes. There's no other thing but reproduction that we need to know what somebody's sex is. Oh, goodness.
This is what happens whenever you ask a transgender activist to explain even the basic premise of the movement, is they'll immediately say, well, who cares? Why are you so obsessed with this? I'm not obsessed with this. I'm not the one who started sending men into the women's bathroom and taking away their trophies and castrating kids. I'm perfectly happy with the way things have worked for thousands of years. It is the transgender activists who are trying to upend everything. And so I think it is at least my right to ask the question, okay, what is the premise of your movement? But they always deflect from that. They always withdraw from the debate. They always try to change the subject because there is no answer. So you ask me, well, what's the purpose of, why do you even care? What's the purpose of knowing someone's biological sex? Well, for starters, because we have civil rights specifically for women in the United States. Mm-hmm. We have special bathrooms for women. We have special sports leagues for women. We have all sorts of special places and rights and privileges and that are for women that are not for men. So if now some men, people who at the very least appear to be men, are claiming a right to go into those women's bathrooms, then we either have to abolish all of the special rights and privileges that have existed for women for all of human history and are enshrined in our law, or they need to explain to me how those men are actually women. And they can't do the latter, and I'm not willing to do the former, and I don't think women across this country are willing to do the former, even if a few people have been so ideologically blinded that they would give in to this kind of an absurdity.
Anything to say?
Thank you for your question.
Nothing to say. Hilarious.
Yeah. On the one hand, I'm like, that is, wow, this is such an eloquent and brilliant line of argumentation from Michael Knowles. And on the other hand, it's like, he's literally explaining to this woman why in society we need to be able to distinguish between men and women.
Right.
It's like the most juvenile, simplistic thing that shouldn't even be a question, but we've gotten in such clown world that it is a question now. And you actually do have to, you know, come up with an explanation for it, which is just insane. I saw a tweet the other day along these lines about a new study in the British Journal of Medicine about whether if you jump out of a plane without a parachute, does bodily harm result? And there's like an academic study trying to determine that. And it's like, we've just gotten so detached from reality in the world these days that you have to have academic studies for nonsense like that. And you have to begin in a debate setting and defend why we need to be able to tell the difference between men and women.
Right.
Clown world.
It's what it reminds me that, like, I think last week I told you guys about this. I got this news story about Down syndrome drag queens and that they were bringing together these adults with Down syndrome and dressing them in drag and doing these essentially just events all over the country where you can pay to watch people with Down syndrome dress in drag. And I got sent this story and saying like, oh, you're going to go on the news and you're going to go back and forth with somebody over this story. And I'm like, I cannot believe in 2023, I am sitting here having to come up with arguments as to why this is not okay. And having to let somebody know and give them a detailed list of why this is not something that's right to do. And that's exactly what's happening in this Michael Knowles video. There should be no reason one has to argue why a man cannot be a woman. But here we are. And I guess it keeps us in business. I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Now, somebody who's recently run into this very conundrum is Stephen King. He tweeted out, "It has been said before, but it bears repeating. If men could get pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament." And of course, he thinks this is like, great, what a woke thing I've just tweeted out, and women are going to rally behind me. And, you know, I'm pro-choice. I love this. But let's read that last sentence again. If men could get pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament. And immediately the leftist descended upon him and said, how dare you say that men can't get pregnant? Men can get pregnant. And I can't believe that you would put in a tweet that men can't get pregnant. And here's just a little compilation of people coming after him and tweeting back at Stephen King for saying this. Men can and do get pregnant. Has Stephen King always been this transphobic? Men can get pregnant. I've got some news for you, Stephen King, with a trans flag. Some do. here we are.
Stephen was 3 years behind on his virtue signaling. Right. You know, you try to do your best to, you know, give the people what they want and say that the woke thing in support of your cause of the day. And then before you know it, if you don't pay attention, the cause of the day has moved on you and you're behind. And Now you're on the opposite side of the cancel mob when you thought you would be the virtue signaling one.
Right. I'm wondering what the proper way to say this would have been. It has been said before, but it bears repeating. If cis men could get pregnant, is that what abortion would be, a sacrament? Would that be the correct way to say that?
The difference three letters can make.
Yeah. I guess that would be the proper way to say that. If cis men could get pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament. Oh my goodness. Unbelievable. But the talk continues because transgenderism continues to be a pressing subject matter and people are, you know, making the choice to identify as trans. Here is somebody who's recently, of course, hit a lot of news in identifying as trans, the sidekick to Mr. Beast, Chris Tyson. So here's Chris Tyson, who's regularly featured in Mr. Beast videos as a collaborator with his wife and child. And this is him now. He has come out as trans. And I've seen mixed reports on this. Some have said trans woman, some have said trans non-binary, which makes absolutely no sense to me. But I don't know if it's trans woman or trans non-binary. He's certainly growing his hair out and wearing feminine clothing now in a lot of the Mr. Beast videos. And of course, people have mixed feelings about this. The left is saying, congratulations, Chris, you're living in your truth. You do what you must do in order to be your true, authentic self, which could not be farther from the actual truth. You are, in fact, running from who you are as a person, and expeditiously he is running from who he actually is as a person. And others are saying, this is ridiculous. How dare you leave a wife and child for a transition like this? And that they will no longer watch Mr. Beast videos or allow their kids to watch Mr. Beast videos, because now, if your kid is watching this, they're going to go, Mommy, Daddy, what happened to Chris from the Mr. Beast videos? And why does he look so strange now? And then Mommy and Daddy are going to have a conversation with the child about transgenderism. And I feel as though, I don't know how Mr. Beast feels about the subject, although I have seen in a few recent tweets that he is defending Chris and, you know, ratioing people who are calling out and talking about this topic. But I would imagine if he is not in support of this transition, he's in a bit of a conundrum, because you can't oust him from your channel. There's nothing you can do about it. You just have to sit there and allow it to happen, because if you let go of him as a collaborator, guess what? You're transphobic. How dare you? You're canceled. And if you keep him on to the people who dislike the gender theory, you lose those watchers. So
he's at the mercy of the mob right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and which just underscores that this was a pretty selfish thing to do on the part of Chris Tyson. You know, and this is where we talk about, if you're an adult, do whatever you want. You know, it's your life, and do what makes you happy. But when you're an adult who's also a father and a husband and is part of an organization, part of the biggest YouTube channel in the world that is specifically catered to be family friendly, to be friendly for children. And now you, because of this choice to transition yourself, you're destroying your marriage, you are robbing your child of a father, and you're taking the YouTube channel that, which, by the way, you did not build in your with your own talent, but you've kind of just been blessed to ride the wave of success with Jimmy, Mr. Beast, right, to the top. And now your act of gratitude to that is to introduce this controversy to Jimmy and bring it to his doorstep, and now make him decide whether he wants to be a transphobe or whether he wants to, you know, introduce gender confusion to the tens and hundreds of millions of people who watch his videos. So, on the one hand, yeah, you're an adult, do whatever you want. But also, there is such a thing as responsibility. There's such a thing as consequences. There's such a thing as duty. And especially just as a man, when you took those vows with your wife in marriage, and when you decided to bring a child into the world, those are two steps of responsibility. And part of being a man is, we love to talk about how men should be open up there with their feelings more, and, you know, be vulnerable, and, you know, be open up and you know, just be approachable emotionally and all that. But there's also a reality that you need to put your feelings behind, and they take a back seat to your responsibilities and your duties. And I'm sorry to go on a tangent here, but this just, it didn't sit well with me. And I don't have, you know, any specific ill will toward the guy, but this is just a shining example of why you need to prioritize your duties and responsibilities as a man. And it's not about your feelings. You have to take a backseat to that. And I think he said, like, oh, I'm doing this so I can be the best parent to my child and be my true self. But, you know, your child needs a father, your wife needs a husband, and Jimmy didn't need all of this drama. So I just think that this was a very selfish and cowardly thing to do.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know that they had a conversation before this all happened, what the inner workings of something like this are, because I'm sure there must have been some sort of conversation at some point, you would hope. But I completely agree with you, Taylor. Like, once you bring kids into the world and you are in this situation, in this relationship, everything that you do is for that child. Everything that you do is for that child. And we all know children need a mom and a dad. Now, you can have your personal feelings, and I've never experienced gender dysphoria, but I imagine if you are experiencing it, it is somewhat of a torturous existence, and it can be very difficult to deal with. But I'm sorry, you have a child. Your child comes first, and this is not your child coming first. This is just like selfish and internal thinking being placed at the helm here.
Yeah, crazy. This is like hubris run amok right now. And kind of similarly to the lady in the first one who was speaking to Michael Knowles, it's like the hubris right now is just oozing forth that you all in this movement, LGBTQ trans movement specifically, know exactly what these gods and goddesses were and what they were worshipped like and how they were worshipped. Like, you're placing your own insecurities and ideology into what that could have been and just molding it into your ideal just so that you can feel good and validated yourself. And it's just pure hubris run amok.
All over it. It's the audacity and selfishness for me. My goodness.
isn't this kind of the world we live in now? Like, our culture now kind of preaches the message that the greatest, most courageous thing that anybody can do is to be their true selves and be whatever gender they are and express their sexuality however they are. And that's become the highest source of attainment in life for anybody. And if doing anything short of prioritizing that in yourself and celebrating that when other people do it at the expense of every other thing in life and every other piece of your identity or every other duty that you have, a responsibility that you have, that is all that matters, is just expressing yourself and feeling self-actualized in your sexuality and in your gender. And it's just, that is not how you build a society. That's not how you build successful lives. It's not how it doesn't promote human flourishing. It's setting up one thing. It's setting one thing up above all others at the expense of so many other things. And, you know, healthy lives, healthy families, healthy countries and societies rest on a lot of things that we like, things like the nuclear family, things like virtue, things like self-control and responsibility and valor. And whenever this one thing of sexuality and gender and all this stuff just trumps everything else, you get situations like this. And it just, it leads to more confusion and suffering in the lives of the people that you know, and then the people that you're influencing.
Yeah. And it's me. Everything is about me. And there's sort of a underbelly to this story here with Chris, and it's one that we've seen with Leah Thomas. Leah Thomas is claiming to be a trans woman, and it's claiming that it's not sexually motivated in any way, shape, or form, even though Leah Thomas on Instagram has been liking photos and following accounts that talk about something called autogynephilia, which is essentially a biological man getting off on the idea of dressing like a woman and being around other women in this state. Now, Chris Tyson, I'm not going to go out and make any direct accusations, but I can show you a tweet that was put out by Chris that was later deleted. He put out, "Nothing gets my knob a-cranking like some lolly." And for those of you who don't know what lolly is, it is a form of pornography that is cartoon-based pornography featuring anime-style drawings of little children and babies. So that is what that is. And he tweeted this out. Now, it could be in jest, and he just wanted to say something that was crazy and put that out on the internet, but he did later delete it, I imagine, due to backlash. That's interesting. So it seems as though he has been exposed to some pretty extreme pornography throughout his life. And I'm really just waiting to see in decades from now, when we're actually studying and breaking all this down, how much pornography has to do with the fact that men are transitioning at this rate and that they are making this choice. Just, I can't wait to see. I'm going to make my prediction now that that is a major driver here. Maybe not the whole piece of the pie, but a major driver here is what people are viewing online. And it's just building a desensitization to your own body, the bodies of others. You have to increasingly do crazier and stranger things to achieve the same result. And the fact that he tweeted this out is generally concerning. Yeah. So.
Jail.
We'll see. Now he could just come out and say, oh, the tweet was a joke, whatever. But it says what it says. And we know what that is, as I've just told you what that is. And he says that's what gets him going. So Mr. Beast is in a sticky sitch. But I my prediction for what's going to happen here is it's just going to be ignored and not acknowledged. And then he'll go on in creating his videos and maintain the same amount of viewership. I don't think this is going to be a huge problem for him. But nonetheless, here we are. Here we are. And Bud Light or Anheuser, is it Anheuser or Anheuser-Busch? I don't know how you say it.
Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah. So Anheuser-Busch, the parent company for Bud Light, has come out because, of course, there was a lot of controversy after the whole Dylan Mulvaney sponsorship and promotion. They went silent on social media in the wake of this happening because people were pissed. You know, you had Kid Rock shooting cans of Bud Light, people throwing them out. Their market cap tanked by, I think, some projections show $6 to $7 billion now. It started off around four, then went five, six, seven. So they've put out this statement, and let's see if we can find solace in this. Our responsibility to America. As the CEO of a company founded in America's heartland more than 165 years ago, I am responsible for ensuring every consumer feels proud of the beer that we brew. We're honored to be a part of the fabric of this country. Anheuser-Busch employs more than 18,000 people, and our independent distributors employ an additional 47,000 valued colleagues. We have thousands of partners, millions of fans, and a proud history supporting our communities, military, first responders, sports fans, and hardworking Americans everywhere. We never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people. We are in the business of bringing people together over a beer. My time serving this country taught me the importance of accountability and the values upon which America was founded: freedom, hard work, and respect for one another. As CEO of Anheuser-Busch, I am focused on building and protecting our remarkable history and heritage. I care deeply about this country, this company, our brands, and our partners. I spend much of my time traveling across America, listening to and learning from our customers, distributors, and others. Moving forward, I will continue to work tirelessly to bring great beers to consumers across our nation. That's the message. So, a whole bunch of nothing. A whole bunch of
GPT, give me a generic PR statement to get me out of this trouble.
Literally, that is exactly what this is. A whole bunch of nothing. A lack of acknowledgement of what was done, why it was done, and no further action as to what's going to happen moving forward. This was nothing. But I guess that's just where their stance is right now, and we'll see if this remedies the $7 billion they've lost so far. They had days to put this together.
That took them a good while. Like I said, ChatGPT could have whipped that up in 10 seconds.
Right.
But he said, we never intended to be part of a conversation that divides people. I find that as though there are millions of dollars that they put into marketing and nobody in their PR department or marketing could have realized that this would be controversial to partner with someone who is a lightning rod for controversy in Dylan Mulvaney. And look, I heard Joe Rogan's argument on this. Did you see his reaction?
No.
He on his podcast, he kind of went on this tangent of saying, like, you know, who cares? Bud Light can do what they want. They can hire who they want to for their to promote their products. And yeah, that's true. But it's also like you're choosing sides when you're choosing to do this with Dylan Mulvaney and you're not choosing to do it with Matt Walsh. And you are implicitly sort of endorsing one side of this debate. And you know what you're doing. Like, he's the face of trans activism among young people. And there's no way he drinks Bud Light in the first place anyway.
Of course.
That's another story. And then you had that leaked video of their, you know, marketing VP or whomever it was kind of intimating that she's an activist in not so many words as well. And so to pretend like, oh, we didn't even know what was happening. We didn't even know we were taking a side in this debate. It's pretty weak sauce. And I wouldn't say this constitutes an apology. And they're really not returning to neutral, or never were neutral in this. And it's kind of like, you know, we showed our hand in that we sympathize with this one side of things, but we're not going to balance that out with the other side. We're just going to kind of issue this flowery statement. It's like, oh, we didn't mean to. We just all, you know, we're just all for love and everything.
Right. Yeah. That's how they found Dylan Mulvaney's page. They just stumbled across it and thought he was just a positive influencer. There's no controversy connected to them becoming aware of Dylan Mulvaney's existence. And they decided to just, you know, throw that out there and see what happens. When your VP of marketing quite literally says we haven't been an inclusive enough brand and that we need to expand our horizons there and stop being so fratty and masculine in our marketing. That's exactly what happened here. And of course, they have every right to do what they want to do with their brand and support who they want to support. But you also have every right not to buy their beer and to move forward. And of course, this is a broader endorsement of everything that Dylan Mulvaney stands for and what the trans movement stands for. The funny thing that I saw is that I went on like TikTok and Twitter and saw a bunch of trans people who were super pissed by Dylan Mulvaney getting this sponsorship, not because it has anything to do with the trans movement, but they were like, you couldn't have found a more masculine trans person to be your sponsor. And why is it that Dylan Mulvaney, and you know, there is something somewhat valid to what they're saying, is like, why is Dylan Mulvaney the face of the entire trans movement? And now black trans people are coming out and saying, well, why don't you hire black trans people? Why don't you hire a more masculine trans person to be drinking Bud Light? Why didn't you hire a trans man to be the face of Bud Light? So it just is never enough. It is never enough. And Dylan is quite literally in the best position you could possibly be in as a trans person right now, because everything that has to do with the trans movement is directed directly at him, like nobody else. He is like the sole benefactor of everything that is happening in the trans movement.
W for the white males.
Yes, yeah. Another W for white men. So yeah, I saw a bunch of leftists.
Could you say did a Stephen King there by you know, planting their flag with the Dylan Mulvaney and not the more current oppressed category of a black trans female who is maybe overweight and you know, a little person as well. So
it's exactly right. They went in the wrong direction. Another miss. You can never be woke enough. Speaking of overweight, this is an interesting TikTok that I became aware of today, of a young woman who is a plus size activist who is trying to get people to sign her petition towards the FAA. To quote, protect plus size travelers. And she is asking that if you're a plus size person going on a plane, your second or third seat should be free.
So you want to hear my hot take on plus size travel and why I think every plus size traveler should get a free second and even third seat on an airplane? Then you better keep watching and sign my petition to make some real change. Let's just state facts. Plus size travelers need more space. And many people agree that plane seats are too small, even for the average size person. As a plus size traveler myself, I know how uncomfortable and unsafe it can be to squeeze into a tiny airplane seat. We are not asking for special treatment or luxury accommodations. We simply want enough space to travel comfortably and safely without fear of being discriminated against because of our size. It's truly that simple. If you agree that every traveler deserves to fly comfortably and without fear of discrimination, then go ahead and please sign my petition and share it with everybody that you know. Let's work together to make air travel more inclusive and accommodating for everyone.
I love how I'm watching Taylor and Scott as they're watching this, and Scott's just like, oh, and Taylor's just rubbing his face in horror. I'm not asking for luxury accommodations or special treatment as I ask for luxury accommodations and special treatment. It's so crazy.
Look, as a member of the over 6 foot community, I think we could make travel a more inclusive experience to give us free exit row or first class seating. Because that's an immutable characteristic of my identity. I can't change it. I'm born that way. And it's discriminatory that I have a worse experience because I'm taller than the average human being and my knees hit the back of the seat. It's very uncomfortable. And I deserve special accommodation for free. Because of, I mean, that's a stronger argument, right? Because that's actually an immutable characteristic. If you're overweight, that is something that you can change. Unless I like saw my bones down, I can't shrink my size.
Right.
But these people can go on a diet and lose some weight. But either way, if I want a bigger seat, or if I want more room for my tall frame in a plane, I have to pay for that. And I know that, and that's just part of life. So if you need an extra seat because your butt takes up two, that's life.
Yep. You gotta fork it up. She was asking for 500 signatures on that pledge. She now has 3,692. So maybe the FAA is going to hear this out and suddenly make a million, if not billion dollar change to the way that they are handling airfare. I highly doubt this is ever going to happen. Although if there was any country that this was going to take place, it would be America. With the rates of obesity that we are experiencing, it is becoming, you know, just industry standard for humans in this country right now to take up about two seats on an airplane.
Yeah, one question I would have too is like, how do you define plus size as well? Like, are we talking about just width, depth of body, height of body? There are many different ways and forms that bodies present themselves, and it's just like I don't know how you can accommodate for every single person, and I feel like they're doing what they can right now.
Yeah, if it's over the armrest, two seats are best, as they always say, you know.
I just cannot don't believe... forget about the bodybuilders
right.
too. It's
right,
not just overweight people.
They have high BMI too.
Yeah.
Well, technically, they can control their body size as well. They didn't have to necessarily be a bodybuilder, but they chose it.
This I don't know. Exactly it's... true. I've seen numerous people complain about being on airplanes and them not being accommodating of fat people, and that airplanes are inherently fat phobic. So we'll see if a big movement starts brewing around this. But I just cannot imagine that our society has fallen far enough that they will believe an argument like this and try to work towards an argument like this. That is truly when I quit.
I do hate to say it, but there's like a kernel in me that would be really happy if airplane seats did get a little bigger.
Yeah,
would help everyone, right? You know, just in general term. But like the way that they're pushing for this is you can tell that the end goal is not going to be beneficial to everyone.
Yeah, unfortunately, airplane seats are not moving towards the bigger. If anything, I think the next thing that comes out in terms of air travel is like standing planes, where everybody just stands as it flies.
Oh, I don't know. With how much they're Nazis about the seatbelt thing, you know.
I don't know. Spirit Air, if anybody can do it, Spirit Airlines is coming for that. They're trying to, maybe you'll stand and they'll just strap you to the wall of the airplane and just pack us in like sardines.
Yeah, their R&D department is going off the chain right now.
Oh no, don't give them ideas. Yeah. Someone said they should charge by the kilogram. I'm actually more sympathetic to that argument. I mean, you get charged if your bag's overweight, but if you're bringing an extra 150 pounds underneath your skin onto the plane, then you pay the same amount as someone who weighs half as much. And the physics are actually different. The plane consumes more fuel because of the weight you're adding. You're probably taking extra snacks, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. But but that actually, like at least logically makes sense, unlike the things that they're arguing for.
Yeah, like a 225 or like a cutoff point, and then after that, they start charging you. Yeah. That would be wild. Just imagine. Just imagine that that's where we move. Speaking of things that are wild, but just continue. Netflix is putting out a show about Cleopatra, who we're all very familiar with. I've almost gone as Cleopatra for Halloween once because I feel like we could take on a similar look if I had my braids going and things like that. But now Netflix is making Cleopatra black. So we'll take a look at this trailer and give thoughts.
I imagine her to have curly hair like me and a similar skin color.
I remember my grandmother saying to me, I don't care what they tell you in school, Cleopatra was black.
She has become an icon.
I am a god, queen of kings.
Her story resonates with every woman.
There we go. Black Cleopatra. We all knew it was coming. Now, I'm on the fence on this one, right? Okay, because Cleopatra was Greek. We know that. When you look up Cleopatra and you look at, like, historic, not images, but I want to say, like, sculptures of Cleopatra, not looking like a black person to me. And I would be on the err on the side of maybe her skin was a little tanner. Like, she would be on the tan end of the spectrum.
Yeah, olive-skinned.
Right. But black, I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm not thinking that that is the truth. Even if you look up her siblings, which have also been... Come on now. Homeboy ain't black. I'm sorry, but he's not. And Disney, of course, if they're going to do this, they have to do... Because everybody's black, right? Everybody that ever existed is black now. So we just take them and we put them in... We just have a black actress play everything and everyone. Even if it's a white man, hire a black actress at this point.
I know. Then you get those memes on Twitter of, like, you know, Ryan Gosling as Obama or whatever. Yeah. Which is somehow that we know that's absurd.
Right. But, will never happen.
You know, race swapping all these other historical figures is not. Other than watching Vikings of Valhalla, I gave it a shot. And one of the main characters in there who's like king or queen in Sweden or whatever is a black woman, and they kind of like explain it like, oh, her husband got her as a slave in Egypt or something and, you know, brought her back. But it's like, of all the things that you could adapt into the screen, you know, you take this maybe plausible theory of history, and then of course she's got all these like female Viking warriors and stuff, and it's just like, what, you know, the great films of, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, like your Bravehearts and your Gladiators, you know, it wasn't like straight, you know, historical accuracy, like you're reading out of a history textbook, but right. They made it about putting you in that timeline. They made it about actually telling the story, bringing history to life for you. And it just feels like as they're doing all this race swapping, it's like the point is that the win for them is, oh, look, we put a different face on this character or this historical figure. And that's what it's about. And just by definition, you lose value in the story and the focus on that, because it just has this weird, you know, people just pick up on it. It's like, it's not as compelling to watch because you just feel like I'm, you know, being lectured or, you know, being pulled into this activist vision of history or what they want me to believe about it or have a different spin on things. And it's just like, can we focus on just having good stories and bringing history to life?
Yeah. And it's just like, how much do you pity black people that you're going to do this to them? Like, just make a movie about a black person. If you want to cast a black actress in it, find a historical black woman, make the movie, make the biopic about her, and then hire a black actress to do it. Don't go, okay, well, let's take Cleopatra and then just switch her out for a black person because you couldn't possibly think of another black person to make a movie about? I don't understand. Like, you should feel, if you're a black person watching this happen, you should feel like they think you're dumb. They really do think you're dumb, and they think less of you to just, oh, well, let's just switch out a white character or a Middle Eastern character or whatever character of the time for a black person, just to make them feel better about their position within history. Go find actual historically black people, make a movie about them, and cast a black actress. It's really that easy.
Yeah, that's where I'd give, you know, we spoke about the Woman King back in the day. That's where I'd give them a nugget of a thumbs up in terms of like them actually going and searching for an original story along those lines, because they weren't just trying to race swap and utilize somebody else's, you know, successes or triumphs in the world and kind of fit what they want into it. And
right.
You know, they were looking for that originality. And I feel like there's a bunch of fruit hanging from that tree, that idea tree. You know, wasn't the richest man to have ever lived among humans, an African like king,
right.
You know, make a story about him. That's right. Interesting.
And then it's like, okay, do like Egyptian women feel bad that they're not being like cast as Cleopatra? Because now haven't you actually stolen, a place for an Egyptian actress? Which, how often do you guys see Egyptian actresses? I can't really think of an example.
Honestly,
I literally cannot name one. So now you've just taken a role that would have been a very unique role for a very unique woman and then gone, nah, throw somebody who's black in there because Black Lives Matter and that's the narrative for today. I'm so and over
like,
it.
They won't cast American actors in Harry Potter to preserve the, you know, nationality of the literature and the source material, which I really don't have a problem with. But, you know, let's cast an African American as an Egyptian person because it's okay to, you know, rob Egyptians of that for whatever reason. It's just the logic just never holds. It's always never, one way street.
It's never sound, but we'll see. I don't know what's next. It's never going to be white Martin Luther King. So even though I would pay a lot of money to watch that just for sheer novelty of it. Yeah, I saw this TikTok of like people going through and making up their own like fake race swaps. And I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find it for you guys. I'll play it at a later date because I'm sure there will be other race swap stories to go over. The last thing we're going to touch on here is I don't even know what we call this. Like, the industry to satanic pipeline is just crazy within Hollywood and music. It is so wild. Do you guys remember what Sam Smith used to be like? This is what Sam Smith used to be like. Funnily enough, across as an earring here, not that that matters or is any indication of his true thoughts, but look, this is what Sam Smith used to be. I mean, breaking records with his music, selling out concerts. Everybody wanted to hear what he had to say or sing, and he was just wildly talented, and he's still talented. But this is Sam Smith now at his recent performance.
To turn this down just in case of copyright.
Yeah, just in case.
You get the picture.
You can see it. Yeah, so we've got some religious garb on these people. I think she was carrying a rosary or some sort of cross of some sort. And he took on the just persona, I guess, of the devil and ended up stripping down during his performance to wear this sort of fun get up.
Skivvies.
Yeah.
Those pasties?
Those are pasties because, oh my God. You know, this is interesting. This is an interesting conversation. And I hosted the Dennis radio show yesterday and was talking to the producer, like, behind the scenes in between different segments and stuff. And he said he had such a weird question for me. He's like, Amla, I have a question for you. Because we were talking about Dylan Mulvaney and all this different stuff. And he goes, at what point do a man's nipples become pornographic, was the question. And I was like, wait a second, let me think about that. Because Sam Smith is a man. He's a biological man. But now Sam Smith identifies as non-binary and is saying, oh, well, if any given day, you know, it switches and I feel feminine and masculine, so I'm just going to identify as non-binary. So now does Sam Smith have to cover his chest when he is undressed? Is that why he's wearing these things on his chest? At what point does Dylan Mulvaney have to wear a t-shirt rather than being able to walk outside without a shirt on? I know you love this imagery and love thinking about it. But seriously, at what point do you cross the threshold of I can no longer, you know, like answer the door shirtless? Dylan put a video on TikTok saying, you know, I ordered Uber Eats or whatever, and he had just showered and he gets out of the shower and he ties his towel around his waist like a man. Interestingly enough, and then the Uber Eats guy comes and drops off the food and he opens the door with his chest out. So at what point do you have to start? Is it the moment that you identify as a woman?
My brain is in a pretzel right now.
it's just a question, you know.
Well, it's yet another one of the, you know, can of worms that has been opened by this stuff,
right?
And you know, I don't know, because you're not a female, you're not a woman, and you're something else. And there's not really, norms established around whatever that is. And
right.
So, you know.
So they can just walk around with everything out for anybody, even though they identify as a woman. Your faces, I know, I can see the discomfort.
Yeah, coming off of Sam Smith's performance and seeing his, you know, Stay Puff, pasty, Nacho Libre body, and then I get to think about Dylan Mulvaney shirtless. So
yeah, I'm just like, you know what? And of course, a lot of people respond to Sam Smith, and they're like, they're doing it out in the open. Look, they're satanic, they're Satanists, and all this stuff. And it's hard to tell at this point. You know, it's hard to tell what these people are, if they're just doing it to be like avant-garde and to push the boundaries, and they know it's going to be something that riles people up, like Lil Nas, what, doing a lap dance on Satan in his music video. Just crazy.
Yeah. And then I saw like, this is like, it was like a TikTok I watched or something about that, and like in the comments they were like, you know, people that knew Lil Nas before he was famous were like he was never gay and blah blah blah. So it's like, right. is this all just, you know, a performance? Who knows? Or do they actually believe it? Is it like one of those, you know, like we used to talk about the spirit cooking and stuff, and they're actually going to Bohemian Grove and doing these crazy rituals? And, you know, I don't know. For Sam Smith, it just feels like, and Lil Nas for that matter, with a lot of this devil imagery stuff, I think in large part they're just trying to be as provocative and transgressive as possible, mm-hmm. and just you know, gin up controversy and get the reaction that they want. But I also think at the very same time, you know, you're literally dressing like the devil. And in a mythological sense, or if not religious, there is a sense in which you're acting out the sort of spirit of Satan, because that in Christian theology and in mythology, Satan kind of represents that which is rebellious against God's order, and or just against order in general, against mm-hmm. any kind of norms, any kind of, hey, we should have boundaries around what is considered decent and what is considered permissible and what is considered moral and good. And the spirit, quote unquote, of Satan would say, no, I reject any boundaries given to me, and I am going to transgress those deliberately to set myself up as the arbiter of what's good and what's right. And so in that sense, you know, whether or not he's actually like believes in the devil or is communing with the devil, or, you know, or whether or not the devil's even real, you're still sort of in a mythological sense acting out that spirit of rebellion, that spirit of transgression against whether it's society's norms or just tradition, and the boundaries that we've established around sexuality and decency and all of that. And, you know, it's there's a through line with some of these other stories that we've talked about today of just, we don't know anymore where to draw the line with decency, yep. with sexuality, with gender, and we that's become the sacred thing. And you can do no wrong going as hard as you can into self-expression and being sexual and, you know, flaunting your gender and focusing on that and putting that out in front of the world. So he's living out the ethos of our time.
He really is. This so, is such a sign of the times, of just rejection of all, rejection of anything that is any sort of boundary, while at the same time just making yourself subservient to your own ideology. It's just so wild in all of these stories what is going on here. And you think, are you going to look back fondly on this time? Is Sam Smith, when he's like 80, going to be like, I'm so glad I had that moment where I dressed like that on stage and I was, you know, dancing like a stripper and just, oh gosh. And to think, you know, most people I think know Sam Smith is like this now and that he's undergone this transformation, but I can only imagine there were probably kids in this audience who had been, you know, unknowingly taken there because they like, you know, Stay With Me by Sam Smith and his old school music. Mm-hmm. And then this is what they're being subjected to. And that's on the parents. You should look up who your kid is going to see before they go and see them. The same thing with the Mr. Beast thing. Like, a lot of people are pissed and saying, well, Mr. Beast, my kid watches your videos and how dare you allow this to happen? I'm sorry, but you need to take a look at what your kid's watching. And that's your fault. Like, it's not his fault if he puts out content and your kid is consuming it. It's your fault that your kid is watching this sort of stuff. But with the internet and just connectivity between people these days, it's harder and harder to keep a grasp on that. Whew. I think with that, we're going to get into Super Chats. What a sweet note to leave you on. Sam Smith's pasties.
Oh, gosh. quick, pull up the Super Chats. Yeah. I'm pulling up so fast I can. One second.
My goodness.
Okay. Let's see. First up, we have, wow, there's a fair few today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Scrolling to the first one. Okay, here we go. Whaler 1-1. Says, finally red spilled my girlfriend. What?
You red pilled your girlfriend.
I think that you meant pilled. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, we hope. I don't know what the other, I don't know what the alternative is.
Well, watch out, because now you are on an FBI watch list having used the term red pilled. We talked about that.
Not supposed to use that term on the internet anymore, guys.
They're coming for you.
Maybe that was their way of circumventing.
Yeah, red spill. Yeah.
Yeah, red spill. Yeah, clever. There we go. That's not checkers. I like it. Renegade says, ancient Rome is the oldest one found. I don't know what he was referring to.
That was like really early in the show. I'm not sure. Maybe it's the Michael Knowles, like the people living on land of some sort. I'm not sure. I don't
know. That makes sense. Yeah. Do we need to like, you know, pause and pay tribute to the ancient Romans?
I know you would be sitting you would be worrying all day, anytime you step foot anywhere new. It's just so ridiculous that she did that. And again, it's just a virtue signal. It's not for anything other than that. It's not because she actually cares. It's not because she's trying to, you know, revere the ancestors of the land. It's because she's virtue signaling.
Yeah. Ugh. Also, if you wanted to take that argument to its full extent, it's like, well, the continents and the land have been shifting throughout time. In memoriam, right. If you want to say in memoriam,
right,
like,
right.
Where are we talking about now?
What about the animals that inhabited the land before?
I was going to say that. Take it. You took it. Yeah. Humans took it from the animals. Do we need to like pay tribute to the mastodons?
Yeah. And the woolly mammoths.
Don't give PETA any firepower.
Right.
Oh dear. Flynn says, "Have you heard of the quote 'To Be Better' podcast?
I have not.
Number two.
No,
I have not. So maybe
to
we'll
be
check
better.
It out." No more context given there, so we'll leave it there. Renegade says, how do I know that's not a pedo in a dress? Was that
you talking about the Mr. Beast? I mean, how would you know, considering that he deleted that tweet about how he likes to watch lolly pornography? How would you know? It's getting hard to distinguish, at least with him. So.
Bring back kink shaming.
I don't know.
Oh, go ahead, Scott.
I was gonna say, I don't know what that guy thought he was gonna gain by even tweeting that in the first place.
Right. Did he think like, you know, people were gonna find this funny haha and not funny weird because it's funny weird. Yeah. And I don't know. Don't know what he hoped to gain.
You know, people just put stuff out there back in I think it was like September 2016, so it was even pre-Trump. I mean, that's like major before times. So
right. Somebody check his hard drive.
Oh gosh. M1YUUU says, womanhood being reduced nowadays to a mere costume is a huge disrespect to my mom, my sisters, my aunties, my grandma and her sisters, my female cousins, my female coworkers, and my ex-girlfriends.
All the females. No, it is. It is a disrespect to all biological women, even the biological women who agree with it. They're going to find out one day, hopefully, that this is not right.
100%. I can't believe you forgot your female second cousins, distant relations, twice removed. Diva Dawn says, these people are all insane, aren't they?
There's a word for it. I don't know. Oh my gosh. I don't know what we're dealing with these days. It's some form of insanity.
Sarah Willis says, aren't these Downs shows just using a vulnerable population?
Yes, they are. They are. I, because I had to justify why this is wrong, had to look up just all these different things about like, what is the average IQ of somebody with Down syndrome? And the average IQ of somebody with Down syndrome, it ranges, but it's below 70, which qualifies as being mentally challenged. Some of them, even adults, have like the IQ equivalent to third graders. So you are essentially taking people with the mental capacity of third graders and dressing them up as drag, and then selling tickets to see their show. And there's a reason that people with Down syndrome, as they grow up and enter adulthood, they still have guardians, they still have people looking out for them. So to dress them in drag and allow people to pay tickets to like watch this stuff. Also, who's paying to watch that? Who is going, yeah, it was Friday night, let's go watch the Down Syndrome drag show. Crazy, crazy. And on their website, they have some of them, pictures of some of these people with fetish gear. Oh my gosh, I can't even get into
it. That's like supporting abuse.
It is.
To go see
it
something
is
like
quite
that.
Quite literally.
That's incredibly wrong.
It's incredible that that exists. Maybe I need to do a whole separate video on it because I don't think enough people are talking about how insane that is.
I think we should. It's just as outrageous as the Balenciaga ad campaign where they were using children and putting them with fetish gear and all that kind of crazy stuff. It's just as wrong.
Right.
All right. I Love Wolves just gives a super chat. Thank you. Stacey Innocent says, hi, Amala. My family loves watching your YouTube videos. Did you get a chance to watch Darlene Rose's testimony on YouTube?
I have not. Maybe I can watch it next week when I am traveling. Some travel coming up.
She said she's a missionary in Papua New Guinea when World War II broke out. That's interesting. Okay. Flynn Vicence again says, I'm curious how a 26-year-old man can all of a sudden claim he's a woman after being a man for those 26 years and having a child.
Well, you can do it at any moment now. Literally any moment that you see fit, you can declare your womanhood. Like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy. I declare womanhood.
I was literally about to say that.
Great so minds.
I guess so. I'm rewatching The Office now, so.
Oh, it's
so good.
It's the best.
Toilet potato. Like when you said, by the way, when you said like someone needs to check the hard drive, I thought of Kevin in The Office. And they were doing, like they had
Wait,
access
when?
To his computer history. Or whatever.
Sabre.
Like, I gotta delete a lot
Sabre
of
bottom.
Stuff.
Oh yeah. Sabre.
Anyways, okay. Toilet potato says the man was married, had a kid, and was super normal, even making fun of gays and trans. And now this is definitely mental illness. I'm
super normal, making fun of the gays. You know, I just love how that sounded. Anyways, yeah, no, it seemed like he had a pretty normal existence. There's old videos of Mr. Beast being like, "How many genders are they gonna come up with? And do they just spend all their time coming up with new genders?" And now, backfired.
Mm-hmm.
Did backfire.
So crazy. Dixon Butts, there you are.
There he
How's
is.
It going? They think the values of 50 years ago were evil, archaic, and too old-fashioned, but 8,000 years ago, they were completely right about everything. A fantastic, great people that cannot be criticized.
Right.
Great point.
That is a very great point.
The child-sacrificing, man-eating ancient tribes of the world were morally perfect. And we can't question anything they did.
Cherry picking to its finest.
Yeah, to your point, Amala, you brought up the slavery aspect. It's like every civilization back then had a slave system within it.
Right, so why not reinstitute that, huh? Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't have anything to say to that. You have nothing to say to that. It's just ridiculous.
Marco Makuranta says, luckily I live in Finland, not so much IDI or something. You guys do great vids and streams. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marco. We got Monica Leah, thanks, Finnish, too. We got a few people up in Finland. That's
pretty
dope.
That is dope. Never been to Finland. Well, never been really anywhere.
I've been to Finland.
Taylor's been to Finland.
It's one of the most interesting places I've ever been. And yeah, Alfredo Ortiz, Michael Knowles looked into Mr. Beast's co-producer and saw that he was a corn viewer that was watching Lowly Corn. I thought we got into that eventually on the show today. Knowles thinks that has something to do with it. I mean, where there's smoke, you know. It's such a weird thing, though, like just seeing weird stuff. I mean, look, you go down a rabbit hole, who knows where you're going to end.
Yeah, so. I mean, it changes what you're attracted to and like what stimulus, how your brain works. Who knows? Who knows what all could happen?
But people are born that way.
Yep.
Lynn again says, thoughts on Ron DeSantis's heartbeat bill?
I think he passed a no abortion after 6 weeks bill. I think it's gonna shock a lot of people. I'm curious to see what happens and if when the demonstrations start, because it's gonna be soon, because I think, who did I hear from recently? Anyway, somebody who's on the left saying that, like, this is monstrous and 6 weeks, how could you possibly know? You know, as I always say, like, I am sympathetic to instances where somebody's actually been forced into pregnancy, but that's never happening for the most part. It's, like, such a small percentage of this. So maybe something like this is going to have women rethink engaging in sexual activity. And maybe it's going to do something about this hookup culture and just people running around and frivolously engaging in sexual activity. It's just so crazy that, like, people think that this is their only choice rather than the choice to actually be active with another person. So, I mean, we will see what happens. I'm like, it's happened. It's been overturned. The legislation has been passed. There's people speculating about all these horrible things that are going to happen in the wake of Roe v. Wade being overturned. Haven't really heard that many stories. Have you guys heard a bunch of stories of women going around getting alleyway abortions or anything like that and dying in the process? I haven't. Is it just not being reported on? I find it hard to believe that the leftist media would not report on something like that happening. Haven't heard a single thing. So we'll see what happens in Florida and if there is some sort of pendulum swing back from him passing this legislation. But so far, nothing. So,
Florida just keeps getting more and more base. I saw a tweet the other day that was like 60% of Democrats in Florida have considered leaving, or maybe it was like LGBTQ people in Florida are considering leaving or something, which is your classic, like, you get asked a poll question and of course you're going to say something like that, but
until they pay taxes the next year in some place like California, which I did, by the way, and it is like being robbed. It's crazy.
Last year's taxes went to California, but 2023, baby, we're in Tennessee, no income tax.
So. Yeah, good for you.
Angie Garcia says, love you guys much and appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for the Nashville recommendations. Taylor, we're having a blast. Oh, yeah. They reached out about some stuff to do in Nashville. Nice. So that's cool. Y'all are
wonderful.
Here. Enjoy. Amala only has experienced Broadway pretty much and like the Daily Wire offices, and she didn't like Nashville that much, but we gotta get you back out.
I haven't
here,
been actually. Out I've been in Franklin, and I've been in downtown and been to the Daily Wire, and that's really about it. I haven't like explored the not crazy parts of Nashville that much.
Bachelorette Central,
right? The bachelorette, the bridal parties, oh my gosh, I was just like, this is too much.
There's more to it. Faux show. Flint says, keep up the great work, Amala and team. Shout out to the members of the team we hardly get to see. I know. Yeah, we only get Scott like once a week now because he's always busy editing our other videos.
I'm sorry.
So we've got him working.
And Cam's here, but he's hasn't been very talkative in the lives.
Cam is not talkative in the lives. He's like chilling. He's just like, yeah.
Which is so funny because he's like an influencer in his own right. I mean, he's got hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok, and
he does make his own videos. Check out Cam debater. Higby. Check his stuff out. He does.
Yeah, he's a good dude. All right. Dharma Initiative says, the kids today are born of Gen X, and they were forced to raise themselves when the nuclear family began to fall apart. They overcorrected with Gen Z.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Gen Z, I think, is an overcorrection like this. We need to feel all of our feelings and as loudly as possible. That's an overcorrection. The gender stuff is an overcorrection. The social media stuff is an overcorrection. Like, everything is just, you went too far. Too far.
Zeke Sutton says, two things. Have you seen Bud Light's response that they released? We got into that. So, yes, we did. Mm-hmm. And have you seen Metatron's coverage on Cleopatra? He's more of a historic channel talking about how she was more than likely Greek, not African.
Yeah, I've seen Greek and Egyptian, which is like two different speculations as far as where she's actually from. But I don't know. I have not seen that historical breakdown.
I read up a little bit on it today, and I think she's like the third generation or so from Ptolemy of Egypt, who was a companion of Alexander the Great, who was Greek and Macedonian. Mm-hmm. So you know, maybe there was another ancestor of another ethnicity or whatever that got in the mix in those couple of generations, but she's definitely of Greek Macedonian descent. Zeke again says, well, never mind the Bud Light thing, I was posted literally seconds before you brought it up, so so yeah, we got it,
no worries.
Weebo says, love from Finland, another Finland, what's
wow,
up guys?
My gosh, what's going on?
As a part of LGBTQ, I fell into the leftist wokeism, but you have helped me to see things much more nuanced. Keep up the good work.
Welcome. Yeah, you can still be a part of the community, even though I just hate the fact that there's even a community surrounding that. You can still have your sexuality and all these things and just not believe all the other bullshit, because that's exactly what it is.
Exactly. M1YUU again says, pause, people drink piss water, I mean Bud Light, no thanks. Corona and Dos Equis.
I will say, yeah, if I was gonna drink beer, Bud Light would not be my choice at all.
Yeah,
Taylor, like I'm like Stella. A craft beer guy.
Yeah, Taylor, as a connoisseur, as they say, how would you rate Bud Light?
Well,
you
honestly,
wouldn't even touch a Bud Light.
I'm not like above the light beers. Like, you know, my favorite light beer is Miller Light, but they're all pretty much the same. I actually did a blind taste test the other day. I was at this gala with my brother, and they had a bunch of different like light beers, and we like put them in plastic cups and tried to pick which one was which. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because they all taste bad and about the same. But
taste bad.
I don't know. I'm not a huge hater on them. I think they have their place because a lot of the other beers are like craft beers are heavier and they're like higher gravity of alcohol and you have to drink them slower. So it's all, you know, it's each their own, but you know, just don't be the woke beer. Don't, I don't, I'm going to stay away from Bud Light just because of dealing with anything.
Yeah.
Then M1 again says Corona is better than Bud Light, or like has greater than symbol. Fair. So
fair.
It's all, it's situational, but I mean, now we're in a situation where, yeah, Bud Light.
Yeah, anything's better than Bud Light.
Flynn again. Wow, Flynn's all over the place today. What would happen if the LGBTQ plus minus divided by time sign community split? For example, I've heard that the LG want to remove the rest of it and just be LG.
God, there should be no community at all. There's no need for splitting and divorcing and all these things, seceding from the LGBTQ community. It should just not exist. There's no reason that that should exist. No lesbian people are the same. No gay people are the same. No trans people are the same. There's no reason to put yourself in a community of any kind, people. Just get rid of the word community. I'm banning the word community.
You said secession. I thought of like a civil war. Yeah. And like what my brain is goes to like, what would a civil war between like cis, lesbian, gays against trans people, TQ plus
wow.
look like? And
gosh.
You've got like men weakened by estrogen and women emboldened
by weaponless war.
Testosterone, and they're all anti-gun. Yeah, it would just be like.
Gosh.
Anyways,
horrible.
It seems like there are some things that are wielded at pride parades that could be potential weapons.
Mm. Yeah. Condoms.
I don't even want to think about that.
No. So many bad mental images. That I need to like,
so
take
many.
A mental shower after this. I scrolled up. Here we go. Corona is owned by the same company. Oh gosh, Zeke says Corona is owned by the same company as Bud Light.
Okay, uh-oh. Get rid of them too. Sorry.
I'm not sure if that's true, but they're canceled.
Anheuser-Busch, I bet they own a lot of stuff, yeah. Do you think
about
that?
Yeah, like Goose Island and Elysian, a bunch of like craft beer brands that I'm familiar with too, but that's the problem with this whole boycott thing. Eventually, there's just nothing left that you can consume because everybody's terrible and woke. Patton was right. Thank you. I'm not sure what that was in reference to.
Me neither.
Musings of a cryptid. Hey, Amelin Company, how do y'all, when dealing with such frustrating people and topics, hold you on to your own compassion, patience, and understanding?
You just gotta. That's what I always am telling myself. You just have to. There's like, if you lose your compassion or your ability to understand, you've lost your sense of self. So what's the use in winning the argument or going back and forth with people if you're just kind of losing your sense of self along the way? So that's why you just have to do it. It's not easy. You kind of have to like, it's a meditative process for me sometimes, but you just got to do it.
Yeah. And I think there's just the humility of knowing that I don't think differently necessarily because I'm innately a superior, morally superior, more intelligent human being, given the same set of circumstances that a lot of the people I disagree with grew up in, or, you know, been in the environments and communities that they have been exposed to. I could very well be thinking the same way. And, you know, you always use the example of like, if I was born in Nazi Germany and raised in the Hitler Youth, I could have been, you know, pulling the lever in the gas chamber. You know, just morally, I'm not necessarily any different. And that gives you a certain humility where, you know, given the same set of circumstances, I could be there. So I think that just brings you back to that shared humanity. And you're like, okay, well, given that I'm not morally better than you, how do I like engage you as a fellow person and try to reason with you? So
it's also a way to steel man your own argument, is to put yourself in the other person's shoes and to fully understand their point of view and their perspective. And that will inevitably help strengthen your argument and clarify it better so that you can then bring it forth. And I think that's what you do so well, is because you're coming from that perspective, from the left, from the progressive left, and you know this stuff innately in your bones, and you can help pick it apart because there are so many illogical thoughts and ideas in it.
Right. Yeah. When I hear from left-leaning people who watch the show, it's because for the most part, they say we give good faith depictions of what it is that they believe. And I think that's rare in right-leaning and left-leaning media to give good faith for the other side. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying.
100%. Great question, though. Jamie says, Amla, the plus size lady, needs to, quote, fork it out, unquote. Laughing
Instead
emoji.
Of fork it in. Okay. I mean, yeah, that would be a recommendation rather than saying that all of American transportation needs to completely upend their current structure as it stands. So crazy. The narcissism that that you must have in order to think, because I'm suffering with a problem, all of our transportation systems need to accommodate me. It's just wild. Rather than me trying to fix the issue at hand.
Yeah. And that's what you, like you said before, we're just out of balance in our time, and the instinct to, you know, world proof or child proof the world instead of world proofing the child is that like hyper feminine instinct that we're living in. And, you know, like in the 20th century, we saw the atrocities of masculinity taken to its extreme with all these like fascist movements and the chaos and murder that happened then. And I think now we're living in the midst of the pendulum having swung in the opposite direction, and we're seeing like the hyper femininity and the damage that can cause. And so yeah, I think that that's where we're getting the world needs to accommodate your feelings, and we need to adapt reality to your subjective world, and we can never tell somebody that their inner self is wrong in any way. And it's again, we're out of balance. We want to find the truth.
Only women are, you know, nurturing and understanding enough to fall for this stuff. That's why women are getting hit the hardest with all these movements. It's just crazy. You don't ever hear a man talking about body positivity for the most part. It's very rare. And if you do, it's Sam Smith. So that should tell you all you need to know.
Indeed. Dixon Butt says airplanes needs to start charging by the pound.
Yeah, once you hit a certain cap, maybe that's a good structure. Maybe we need to hit up the FAA with our proposal.
I mean, once you open up the can of like, hey, we need to treat people differently based on their weight, they started this, you know. The airline was content to just leave it under the rug, but now if you're demanding extra seats because of your weight, you opened a can. Alfredo Ortiz says, seeing F at ampersand plus sign, I guess fat people like her complaining about the weight standard makes me want to work out more. I'm about 10 pounds away from being overweight and trying to slim down.
Hey, good for you. I love that for you. Go and do your self-improvement project. What was that on the FBI watch list? Looks maxing? That's so now we're on a watch list somewhere for saying that. Go do that.
If you want those fettuccine arms like Amala's got, those guns. Upgraded from Linguini. Zeke Sutton, Hidden Figures was a great film about black female figures in history. It was also just a great movie in general.
I work like a dog. Yes, I saw that movie. It was good.
Yeah, there's good stories to bring to life. Someone said there hasn't been a Rosa Parks movie. I'm like,
why do I feel like that's not true? Is that the truth? Is there seriously not been a Rosa Parks movie?
I don't believe so.
Well, we'll find out.
Not recently enough. Probably like in the 80s or something, you know?
Yeah.
Natalie Lomsky says, thoughts on air accommodations for plus size versus disabled / wheelchair users? I think there's a difference, but some don't.
Oh, yeah, there's certainly a difference. If you're in a wheelchair and you need accommodation on a flight, then yeah, you do what you got to do for that person. But yeah, not the same for being overweight. I'm sorry. Sorry, y'all.
Yeah. My sympathy for disabled people grew when I flew to France this past summer with a broken foot, and I had to either be on crutches through the airports, which was exhausting and painful, or get pushed around in a wheelchair. And
it's not an easy life.
Not an easy life. So definitely they deserve accommodation. Marco again says, Vikings were black too, laughing face, all the time more happy to be Finnish, even that we have a 1,300-kilometer border with Russia.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, getting into the Rus Vikings would make more sense, and like the Asian influence of Viking culture from that side of things, as opposed to Africa. That would just make so much more sense.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I know they got into like Ukraine, and that was a big point of cultural and trade exchange. But I don't know. I need to get to the chapter in Vikings history.
You'll
of
love
the black
Vikings.
Vikings.
Men love Vikings.
I just do, especially because I'm
really just love Vikings.
Descent,
it's so strange.
Yeah, they're badass.
Yeah,
they're just awesome.
Vikings and gladiators.
Susan Spartans says, too. I wish Spartans I could invite too. You over to do a puzzle and have a cup of tea. You seem like you would be a great friend.
I would absolutely love that. Me and my grandmother used to do puzzles, but now she doesn't live anywhere near me, so I can't do puzzles with my grandma anymore. It's tragic. But yeah, puzzles
and tea. I actually
love
puzzles too.
That's a date night if I ever heard one. Puzzles and tea. I love that.
Don't tempt me with a good time. Curtis C. says, I remember years ago hearing that Jamie Foxx be in a biopic of old blue-eyed Frank Sinatra.
Oh my gosh, imagine Jamie Foxx plays Frank Sinatra. More like, who's Frank Sinatra's friend? Sammy Davis? Sammy Davis Jr.?
The rat
that
pack?
Would make a lot more sense than Frank.
Let's see. I had to refresh to get the more latest ones. Fat and Fresh, PHAT, says, where did you get that Studio Ghibli poster print behind you? I have the exact same one and others from an artist I met at Comic-Con.
I got this from a guy who works at PragerU. His name is Alex. He is the head of design here, and he had this poster, and his wife was like, you got to get rid of that, I think. So he just gave it to me because he knew I was a big fan. So now I have it, and it's part of the set. So it was a great, great addition from Alex. Shout out to Alex Jimenez.
Totally on brand for you. Uncultured Currency says, Amala, how can I interview on my channel?
It depends. You can reach out to press@prageru.com and send them a little email, and then they'll send it over to me. Or is it press or info?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think it's press@prageru.com.
Press@prageru.com.
BASC says, first time doing Super Chat. I've recently started watching you, and you are such a beautiful, powerful, well-spoken woman. Love from Canada.
Thank you. That's so sweet. That is so nice. I'm horrible at taking compliments, but thank you.
Thanks, A. Sorry, you live in Canada. Just kidding. I'm sure it's a great place, but y'all's government's crazy.
Right.
Kofi Quay.
Who are we to talk?
Says, yeah, who are y'all to talk in California, at least?
Right.
Are you guys going to watch Nefarious? It's a good depiction of good and evil and makes you think. I haven't heard of Nefarious.
Not heard of Nefarious.
Film?
I only just saw the trailer pop up on the Daily Wire the other day, but I didn't have the sound on.
It's in...
it's a Daily Wire movie?
I'm not sure, but it was just one of their advertisements that was mid-scroll.
It says, on the day of his scheduled execution, a convicted serial killer tells a psychiatrist that he's a demon who can possess his body. As the evaluation ends, he also tells the doctor that he will soon commit 3 murders of his own. It's out in theaters now. Sounds scary, but I might go watch it. I need to go watch that movie Air that just came out because I've heard people give it really great reviews, and I don't particularly care about basketball or sneakers, nor do I want to support Nike in any way, shape, or form. But I just want a piece of good entertainment. I don't know if
despite
Nike
all
must.
Those reasons.
Oh gosh, I don't know if Nike gets money from that movie. I bet they do.
Oh yeah.
Gosh, maybe I won't.
You can support the idea of that old Nike, the original like idea.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll bootleg the film.
Yeah, there you go. I know
piracy is a serious crime, but you know.
Identity theft is a serious crime, Jim.
Millions of people suffer every year.
Okay, Onyx Fox says, curious why Amala has chosen to keep her leftist tattoos. Probably further proof why decisions made while young are permanent.
Yeah, you know, I've gone back and forth on it. A lot of people tell me to keep it. A lot of people tell me to get rid of it. My boyfriend would love if I got rid of this tattoo and covered it up in some way, shape, or form. And I am kind of moving that way on the fence because I just hate the interactions. Because obviously you interact with people who don't know you, and people see it and they're like, oh, I love your tattoo. Or like, they're just like looking at it. And I'm like, no, it's not me anymore. Oh, it's not. I don't want the association anymore. I'm not one of those people. So I've thought about it. I don't know. This was going to be when I initially got this Haku tattoo, which is why his tail is sort of on the edge of the old tattoo. This was going to be a full Japanese sleeve, and it still very well could be. But yeah, we'll see. It was going to have like be blacked out with like waves and all this sort of stuff. This was going to be covered. We'll see what happens. I'm still in favor of a Japanese sleeve, but this hurt like a bitch.
Yeah, how long did that
take? This took 10 hours in total.
Dang.
2 5-hour sessions of getting that tattoo. So we'll see.
Dang, I just did a poll. Should I only get rid of the BLM tattoo?
You just
make
it. She
will abide by the results.
Should I laser it or should I
make it
cover
Thanos,
it up?
Thanos's Infinity Stone.
Oh gosh, no! Yeah, just put rings at the top. Oh my gosh, just horrible.
I'm team keep the tattoo. I think it's cool. It's like a living, you know, reminder of your story, and it's right on your sleeve. And But skinny. I mean, your body, your choice. But I think
skinny it's still tired. Yeah, my awesome. Body, my choice.
But yeah, we'll see what the so far 66% say yes.
I should show you guys what I had prepared for my Japanese sleeve, and then you guys can judge it.
I missed my opportunity. I was in Norway last year, and I should have gotten a Viking tattoo of some sort, like some runes or a heck ship or something. But
it's just like on the scalp,
back, I guess. Because Vikings are badass. Okay. Brandon Reynolds says, so wait, we can't say red pill anymore? Oops, I did it again.
Well, yeah. You're already on the list, so say it as much as you want.
Mm-hmm. At this point. Ever said red pill based, looks max.
Looks maxing, LARPing.
Chad.
Chad, Stacy.
You are on the FBI's most wanted list.
Yep.
Kenneth Fry. Hey, Taylor, you skipped my first super chat. You said my name, but never read it. Did I? Then I can, if you guys find it, send it back to me. I can't scroll
down.
Yeah,
put it in the chat down below. I'll watch the chat. Just put it in the chat. Don't pay. Don't give me money. Just put it in the chat. What was his name?
Kenneth Fry.
Kenneth Fry. I'll watch for it.
All right. Diva Dawn says, how are Downs drag shows not the same as freak shows used to be?
That's a great question. I don't know how they're not the same. It's just because we live in clown world, so... Somebody just said that they were not the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Touie just gives a super chat. No message. Thank you. Flynn again. Gray pill is the thinking pill.
So many colored pills now. There's black pill, white pill, blue pill, red pill, gray pill.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Savvy says, we had pink washing. Now we have black washing. Cleopatra is Egyptian. Love the show, guys, from Ireland.
Ireland. Hello. So many people from all around the world.
Yeah, love it. I said this the other day, but I think on our YouTube backend, it's like only 60% or 55% of the audience is in the U.S. So that's super cool that
that's
we have people
insane
from around the world watching.
That's insane. Yeah. Is that real?
That's nuts.
I think so.
It's okay. Wow.
Slancha, mate.
That's wild.
Yeah, we need to do, I'm telling you, we need to do the unapologetic world tour.
I know.
Jen McMahon says, OMG, I feel like the next thing from the left and drag queens is going to be drag queen newborns. Oh, God.
Could you imagine? You know what? I would be surprised if somebody hasn't already done that. Yeah. At least that's a cuter version of everything else that's going on. Like a little girl dressed up in old man clothes. At least that's kind of cute. But like, oh, gosh, horrible. As long as it's not disturbing. Serious.
It's like, now here, another Office reference, you know, when Angela had the baby poster where the babies were dressed up as like, you know, musicians with trumpets and stuff.
Oh, and yeah. Oscar and everybody thought it was weird.
It's disturbing.
Yeah.
And then Michael is trying to do conflict resolution because Oscar complained about it. And he's like, okay, Oscar, you're going to wear a shirt that has
the photo on
the
it.
Picture on it.
Yeah.
So that you don't see it, but she does. Win, win, win.
Win, win, win.
Anyways.
This show is so funny.
Okay. Jen. Natalie Lomsky says, down drag. Oh, I already read that one too. Clark Ergenrother says, you guys are great. Thanks for your commentary and your fresh thoughts.
Thank you.
We keep it fresh.
We do keep it fresh.
Amala was filming all day or all afternoon right before the show.
Oh my gosh.
Doing some reshoots for this short documentary coming out.
Yeah, just saying random lines over and over and over and over with like different inflections. And our director, shout out to Ian, is fantastic, but he's just so meticulous with the way things are said. Like, we'll be like, we interviewed Jeremy Boring, and it'll be like, enter Jeremy Boring. And he's like, can you do enter Jeremy Boring? And now I have to like say it again and like use a downward inflection on the term and just do it over and over and over. But he has such a good vision for how it's going to like pan out when it's on screen. So he knows what it's supposed to sound like. It's just crazy to do that all day. But it's fun.
Yeah, and the next time we do the show intro and you're like, let's get into it. I'm like, can you go, let's get into it?
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Literally
let's
what it's like.
Let's get into it. Oh, dear. This is the beauty of the live show, guys. Unscripted.
You can't only get the first
anything.
Take. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy Owen says, I love your perspective. We need more people to have level-headed conversations. By the way, I love your tattoos.
Thank you. Emoji. It's you get on different ends of the conservative crowd. Some of them really hate tattoos. Really hate them. Yeah. But I'm chilling, y'all.
John Paul says, someone once argued with me about Cleopatra. They said she was black because she was from Egypt. I told them her father was a white senator from Greece. At best, she was mixed. People don't know their history.
No, and they don't care. Everything's black according to the blacktivists. Mm. Everything. My goodness, just amazing.
Marco, again, Finnish people just don't care this kind of BS, and we don't have that so much here because of that. Only funny old drag queens.
Yeah, I saw this TikToker saying leftists always use Sweden as an example. Not that Sweden's Finland, but they said they always use Sweden as an example for like their leftist utopia. And she's like, Sweden is not a leftist utopia. Like, they don't allow anybody to be different, and they have all these rules and regulations and blah, blah, blah. And they don't allow for immigration and all this stuff. And she's just like crying about how Sweden and everything she said. I was like, based. Like, oh, unbelievable.
Indeed. Fukoff says gays against groomers equals just LGB no T plus community.
Yeah, it's LGB does not make sense to me either. I'm going to be honest, guys. Got to be honest with you.
I know. Where's the cis straight alliance? I don't know.
Right.
Super straight.
Right.
Remember the super straight movement? That was funny.
Oh, the super straights. Yes. That was a thing for a little while there. And then it just went into obscurity.
Bring it back, guys. This is discrimination. The system's rigged against us. Dharma Initiative. Please be more compassionate when talking about fat people. Many have medical issues and take meds that cause weight gain.
Guys,
don't equate.
We are not talking
fat phobia.
We are not talking about the fat people who are struggling with like PCOS or are taking medications for their thyroid or are on prednisone, which makes them retain water. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about the people who are in full control. We're talking about the Nico Avocados of the world who are, you know, just sitting down eating a bunch of junk food and then saying that the world needs to be complicit in their behavior, which, if we're going to go out and say it, is the majority of people who are overweight in this country. The most of that is not caused by these sort of immutable problems that people have that they have no control over. So I'm sympathetic to the people who can't control it. There's tons of people who deal with that every single day. But that girl, that video.
Yeah, there's a very specific type of video that we'll react to when it comes to the fat talk and that type of stuff. And it's right. Those people who are trying to push, you know, specific things where they want the world to cater to them.
Exactly.
And deny that it's unhealthy or things like that. But anyways. Sup, my dude, says Amala. I heard you're an expert at this, so I must ask your advice. How do you combat post-Mexican food gastritis?
I'm not an expert at this because I don't enjoy Mexican food. So I'm so sorry.
Wow. Which now I know that I'm obsessed with Mexican food, and when we go to lunch, she's too nice to say she doesn't want to go to my favorite place, Mexican place.
So I'm a very unassertive person. I will eat Mexican food. Like, it's not like I don't like Mexican food and I'm just like I never want to eat it. I'm just never sitting there going like, you know what, I really want Mexican food right now. That has never once in my lifetime crossed my mind. I'm really craving Mexican food. I'm so sorry
when I was in LA. A couple of weeks ago, we went out for lunch for Scott's birthday, and Scott had to eat Thai food on his birthday because we knew that Amala.
Well, that's not true. You could have told me.
I like Thai food too. Don't worry. Yeah. It's good.
You could have totally taken advantage of my unassertiveness and gone to the Mexican place.
I know, but look, we're both married, so we know that that's you know, girls would be like, no, I don't care. It's fine. But yeah. You lost if you make that decision. That's the wrong thing.
That's so, my gosh.
You have to figure out what they want without them telling you.
Unbelievable. I'm content. I'm a content individual. I'm content in all scenarios and situations.
It's true. You're very low maintenance.
I try to be. True. Tell that to my boyfriend.
SQ randomly ALQ Rashi says nothing but gives a super chat. Thank you very much. What currency is SAR? Somebody tell us in the super chat or in the not in the super chat. You don't have to pay us to tell us what currency that is, but I'd be curious to know what that is.
It is the Saudi Rial. Saudi. Interesting.
Dixon Butts again says, was watching a hockey game a few weeks ago and the girl singing the Canadian anthem, changed the line "Our native land" to "The native's land." Oh, gosh.
Oh, bro.
It's like, because it goes, "Oh, Canada, our home and native land." Or
I bet she felt so good about that afterwards.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, goodness.
That's something. It's
wonderful.
Robert Kiefner says, as a gay man, I'm ashamed we went to from the Stonewall riot, the rights just to live without fear, to this. Love your channel and much respect from Florida. Keep it fresh.
This is the issue, man, because it's going to make a lot of people be anti-gay. And that's the real harsh part of all of this, and that sucks. It's like your movements can start off with good intentions and actually have something that progressive to drive towards, and then they fall off a cliff because people take it too far. We need to decide when movements end. Feminism should have ended, you know, like we're done, at least in America. There's other countries that have feminist struggles that are still afoot and should be, but in America, we're done. The Black Lives Matter movement and like Black Power and all this stuff, the movement ended. We're done. Like somebody should have, you know, rung a bell and called time of death on these movements, but they have not. And now we have all this stuff that just continues to get crazier and crazier.
Yeah, it's like the left has these unattainable goals, but you're always striving for that unattainable goal. So there's no line that you can draw and say that's where it stops and that's where we're done.
Yeah, there's no finish line, guys. There's no finish line. So be careful when you sign yourself up for stuff, which is unfortunate because there are often things that you should sign up for and we should be moving towards. Just wild.
Wild indeed. Natalie Lomsky says, you didn't read my down drag one. LOL, no worries. I think we did. And I have said your name. So hopefully this super chat is now outdated.
I think so.
Thank you. And Rogue Tinkerbell says, trans doesn't mean not sexually attracted to women.
Wait, what? Okay. Trans?
Trans doesn't mean not sexually attracted to women.
Oh, are you saying in reference to the Mr. Beast guy? Because he has a wife?
I suppose.
Trans doesn't mean anything, to be fair. It literally
this
means
true.
Jack shit. But
I mean, yeah. Andrew Joseph Yanez says, while votes may be in favor for removal of your BLM letters, you should nonetheless consider your BLM letters as an ideological symbol on your body representing your escape from indoctrination. Keep it.
This is That's true, but I will always have the memories, you guys know, like, yeah, you know, yeah, I'm gonna remember that was there. And I have photographic evidence, we got video evidence, you know. At what point can you do I still need the reminder?
But you gotta be able to hold up the arm and say, you
right,
when you're giving that speech like the Tennessee guys, you know?
Yeah, I've just got democracy. Justin Pearson for the win.
Greg Kett says, yeah, I'm pretty sure they did a bunch of DNA rendering on ancient rulers, and most of them in Mesopotamia and Egypt were white. So
makes sense. I mean, guys, just look at the busts and the statues and stuff. I mean, if that doesn't tell you,
the features
I'm sorry.
Are pretty, pretty distinct.
Pretty of the Caucasian persuasion.
Gothic Barbie, and I think we're almost caught up here. Gothic Barbie says, how international does the live chat get? I genuinely think we peeps need to have a group hug.
I know. One day I need to have you all comment what time it is where you are, and we'll do it at the top of the show because it's so interesting because you're all in different countries and stuff. I wonder what time zone you're listening in.
There's also the Discord that you can hop onto and have that group hug.
That is true. Yeah. Join our Discord. It's in the link in the description down below, and you can hang out and chill with people all throughout the day. There's always active members on that thing. Always.
And if we don't have like a chat channel for internationals or regional ones, we should make them because that'd be kind of cool to let y'all connect over that.
See, people are putting their times in the chat. 6:30 p.m., 9 in the morning, 1
Dang,
in the morning.
1:40.
Y'all are all over the place.
Go to bed.
5 p.m., 9 a.m. Oh, my gosh. That is crazy. That's actually so weird to, like, put in perspective the times that you guys are getting this information. Am I giving you too much energy in the morning, or if you're listening in the middle of the night? I'm not going to get in my own head about this.
That's so cool. Wales and the U.K. and Finland and
San
Diego.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, the chat is just going crazy.
That is going crazy.
That's
that is so wild. Very cool.
Danny 4569 says, hoy, I love watching your videos so much, especially while I'm at work. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I don't need to be watching while you're at work.
Hey, no, this is safe for work. We're safe for work content. Yeah, yeah. Just put us in the old ears. I don't know if we're safe for work after that Sam Smith.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. We had that Cardi B video that we reacted to.
Oh my gosh.
Week.
Yeah, no, maybe not. Work, so. I forgot she said all that stuff in that video.
Child approved content there. And I think Rogue Tinkerbell says, I meant in regards to women's spaces.
But I didn't remember the first super chat.
Trans does not mean sexually attracted to women. I meant in regard to women's spaces. Those are her last two. So
you mean like Leah Thomas being in women's spaces? No, trans does not specifically mean that, but autogynephilia probably would suggest such a thing. And maybe watching Lolly stuff on the internet might suggest something even weirder.
Suggest you need to be arrested and thrown in jail.
Yeah, need to be.
And I think that's it for super chats, guys.
All right, guys. We're going to have to find a new super chat system because it's the super chats are tacking on another hour to the show. I know what you guys are trying to do, though, okay? I see y'all. We'll figure it out one of these days. But guys, thank you so much for watching. Uncultured Currency just said, put H in front of BLM for half-breed lives matter. Is that what I qualify as? Is that what biracial people are? Is that another term for that? I'm not quite sure.
Like the muggle situation?
What a nerdy reference, Taylor. Oh my gosh. Guys, thank you so much for watching. I hope you had a good time and a fun Friday. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back on Monday, but we'll be posting videos over the weekend. So you guys keep an eye out for those shorts as they go up. Thank you so much for watching and hanging out with us in all of your respective time zones, countries, counties, cities, wherever it is that you are. Join the Discord down below if you want to talk to other people who are in the unapologetic community who just love having discourse with one another on any given day. Also, sign up for my email and newsletter. It's in the link in the description down below. And as always, like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we are live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Plus, we post videos all throughout the week that you don't want to miss. We posted two videos yesterday. Are you kidding me? We should be running Hustlers University because that's what we're doing over here, guys. Thank you so much. Stay free. Have a good and fantastic weekend.